Well, good morning, everybody. I want to thank you all for giving me an opportunity to bring forth God's word with you. And this is a message. This is a gospel message, but I don't get involved with the age of responsibility as far as the children go. We know that the children going to Sunday school, as it says in Proverbs 22, Chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he shall not depart from it. So we have our children in the Sunday school learning God's word as an easier level, I should say. So I'd like to open up with the word of prayer. Please don't mind my voice. It's starting to fade on me, but I'm going to do the best I can here. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for that great sacrifice on Calvary's cross that has provided salvation for each and every one of us here and for everyone in the whole entire world. Father, we thank you for the salvation we have in Christ. Father, we thank you for the gospel that we may feed upon. Father, thank you for the gospel that we may learn on. We ask your blessing upon this gospel message. Father, we ask you to lead us all on by thy Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. As it says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Very strong verse. I want to point out two things first on this verse. There's no such thing as reincarnation. I remember back in, say, high school, I remember people talking about reincarnation, and now seeing this verse, and as it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. There's no do-overs, there's no try again, there's no second try in life. What you do with this life, you only have one chance at it. Second thing I like to just point out on this verse, there's no such thing as that made-up place called purgatory, where a place where you may go that's made up, where they go and purge their sins. It does not exist. Nowhere does that say it in the Bible, there's such a place called purgatory. And just to say, after death comes the judgment. This is immediate. This is immediate. Right after death comes your judgment. So I like to ask everybody here, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? It's either one of two places. The first reference we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. That alludes to heaven, because the first you're going to be with the Lord in spirit, and then you'll have your spiritual body and your body will be reunited at one point in time in the future. So you're either absent from the body and present with the Lord, or as it says in Luke chapter 16, the rich man, we're talking about the rich man that died and lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. Hell, death leads to hell. Hell leads to the lake of fire. It's a lost eternity, tormented day and night forever and ever. See, what happened was a gospel verse that I often use in my messages. We look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. If you'd like to turn there, you may. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That one man, Adam's race, since we are all part of Adam's race, we are all sinners. We are all part of that sinful bloodline. We are all sinners, born into sin. There's nothing we can do about it by ourselves. We were born into sin. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Does not necessarily mean she was sinning when I was conceived, it means I was born into sin because of the sinful bloodline that we have all inherited through Adam's race. Establishing sin here, we're all sinners. Now, just to further go on through the point of sin here, as a result of sin, we all have a deceitful heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. We may look further along in the New Testament, what Jesus says about the heart. Look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We're going to go verses 21 through 23. Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders," verse 22, "thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Going back to Romans, we look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 says the mind is carnal and is an enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So we see, we're just painting a picture here for us all. We may think about this. A lot of people don't like to think about the sin in our lives and how it involves us and how it separates us from God. We're all part of the sinful bloodline. We're born into sin. Practiced sinners, we're raised in sin. We are sinners by practice. And what a sin is, separation from God. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. The mind is carnal and is an enmity against God, not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Our flesh, the fleshly lusts, it seems like our whole makeup of ourselves is an enmity against God, which means an enemy against God. We're separated from God. Just think about it. The whole makeup of ourselves is separation from God. My example here is we're on this side in our sin. God is on this side, holy. Holy God cannot have sin in his presence. That's why there is a wall between the sinful man and a holy God. We cannot reach God because of the sin. That sin is the barrier between us and God. We have to understand this is a serious problem. Sin is a serious problem. It separates us from God. You know, and as I'm going on here, as I spread the gospel out in the communities and the cities, and I often come across two major groups that I come into contact with. And I try to tell them about eternal life, salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two groups of people that I'd like to address right now, just while I have this moment. The first group is I call the proud group. This is the group where how well they think they do in life, how well they are, how they help people, how they just... they spend their days. I heard a lady tell me, "Oh, I spend my day helping people and just caring for others, and oh, that should be good enough." Oh my goodness, that is such a scary thought to hear somebody say that. That's the proud person. How good they are and how well they do, how they obey all the laws and rules, how they even try not to sin, and just how well they are to others and how good of a person they are. They look around, they think they're so much better than all these other people around them, but they don't understand that this is a proud person and God has a problem with this proud person. You know, all these things that they do are very nice. It might even give them a better place in hell, but it is not going to get them into heaven. So I'd like to just take a moment and show you what God says about this proud person. Let's look in Proverbs. Let's go turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. I don't need to emphasize too much on the proud person and the proud in heart. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5 says, now this is God's word. This is what God says now. This is not my word. Thus saith the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. God says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Chapter 15, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Now, while we're in Proverbs, there's two verses that I want to also point out. Back to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Now, we're showing the contrast. It shows the contrast in these chapters. It shows the contrast between the righteousness and wickedness. Chapter 16, verse 25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, that verse also shows up in chapter 14. And every time I see God's word emphasizing a verse twice, I pay closely attention to it. And let's look at chapter 14 in Proverbs, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Same exact thing is said in chapter 16. For the last time, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, while I'm on this train of thought, I want to address that second group of people. That second group of people happens to be the religious group that I see a lot and hear a lot, and just over and over I hear and see this religious group. And, you know, they are relying on their church membership or their church or their position in the church. You hear them say, oh, I'm a deacon or I'm a bishop or even the priest. You know, they all are relying on their membership in this church. They go through all their meetings on schedule, have these religious rituals day in, day and night. You can set your clock by their religious rituals. Every day I see this. The religious, not every day, but every week I see this, every week. And just more and more it bothers me. And I want to just bring this out for just a minute. The religious rituals, they're relying on their church, their membership in their church, who they are, and somehow they think in that because they have this great title in their church that it's gonna give them a great spot in heaven. That is so untrue. That is so untrue. Now, back to Mark chapter 7, just to address this religious group. Mark chapter 7, the Gospel of Mark chapter 7, verse 6. Okay, verse 6. And he answered, this is Jesus, and he answered and said unto them, well, have Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, men look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. So these people are far from God. Even though it's such a dangerous state they're in. They're going through their religious rituals and who they are in the church and the membership, and you know, they might even say good things of Christ and say good things, but they honor him with their lips, but really their heart is far from him. Now, the context of this portion was being addressed to the Pharisees back in those days, but it's just as true today as it was in the day. God's word does not change. So even though it's a different group of people with different titles, it still applies to this group of people that appears today. So I want to say that their heart is far from the Lord. We have to understand that we are sinners separated from God. And left to ourselves, there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. We are sinners separated from God. And therefore, we are destined to hell, that lost eternity where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and that utter darkness, tormented day and night, forever and ever. We have to realize and understand and just and warn people of this great danger. And I have to emphasize the fact that we are separated from God by sin. No matter what we do, we are sinners. We cannot earn our way to heaven. We cannot save ourselves. It's a lost destiny here. See, it's horrible to think of such a thing, but it's true. So I have to bring it out. Every once in a while, I have to bring a straightforward gospel message out. And this is how it is. Sin is separated from God. And there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. But despite our sinfulness and how our sinful condition and our makeup is separated from God, despite this condition, God is love. And he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins and to provide salvation for us. He has done everything necessarily possible to save us from our sins by sacrificing his Son on the cross. Now, this was the plan before the foundation of the world. This was the plan. And now we understand. Let's look into the gospel here as we start with this verse right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. Three major parts of the gospel. We have to understand this. Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. They're very equally important. We have to acknowledge they are equally important. Buried, it was a rich burial where never a man was laid before. Rich burial, and you know, it also proves that Christ died for our sins. We bury dead people, even though they buried him in a tomb where never a man was laid before. We now bury people in the ground. His burial was in a tomb, a rich man's tomb at that. And on the third day, rose from the dead. He was not in that tomb anymore. Rose from the dead. All was there was his linen, his wrapped linen in the napkin that was placed over his face for his burial. That was the only thing left in the tomb. His body was not there. At this point, he was out communicating and sharing God's word with others Now, we see that Christ died for our sins. The three parts of the gospel, we have to all understand, they're all important. Three parts of the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Two times, once again, God emphasizes according to the scriptures. He's telling you it's God's word. It's what happened. This is what he did. Christ died for our sins. Now, God the Father sent God the Son into the world. God the Father sent God the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Say might be saved because everybody has to make a decision if they are going to receive this salvation through Christ. Now, just believing and admitting that I am a sinner, you believe it and admit it to myself, I got to admit it to God. Dear God, I know I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I believe Christ died for my sins. Now, this alone, I believe that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Christ died for my sins, this is not salvation. No matter what you think, this is not salvation. Just knowing about it, that is not salvation. What is salvation is personally applying it to yourself. Just like we sung in the hymn, "There to my heart was the blood applied." The Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross has to be personally applied to your heart, receiving Christ as your Lord, your personal Lord, which means master, which involves repentance. We have to turn from our sin, all that dead works, that dead religion, all of our proud thinking. We got to turn from all that and embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust Jesus Christ as your master and you shall be saved. You must personally apply this to your own heart. And it does include repentance. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repentance. Repent and turn to God, embracing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, Savior, the one who saves from sin. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and Jesus Christ alone is the one who died for our sins. So it's not like you say, okay, I believe on Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ and my good works and my membership in this church or and all these great things I do and this and that. No, it's not and nothing. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. We must receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's a personal relationship. Someone says to me, oh, your religion. No, it's not my religion. I have a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. He is my Lord and Savior. And that's how it is. That is my relationship. That's my faith, is receiving Christ Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I do what he says. I try my best to do what he says. Now, you say, you keep sinning. We are sinners by nature. By nature, the children of wrath. We are by nature the children of wrath. So we are going to continue to sin. But the difference is we try not to. Turn away from sin. Whatever that sin was that you used to go after or that you used to have, whatever it was, you turn away from it to Christ. Do a 180-degree turn from this direction to Christ as your Lord and Savior. Has to be done. Without repentance, there is no salvation. There has to be repentance. Like I said, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repentance. The Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. All. That means we all must come to repentance. We are not good as ourselves. We're not good. We're not good. We need Christ. We need his righteousness as we have been remembering this morning on the Lord's Supper. We need his righteousness to be clothed on by his righteousness, not our own. I'm not coming to God on my own. I'm coming to God through the righteousness of Christ, my Lord and Savior, that has been applied to my heart. Just like in Exodus, where the Israelites were being freed from Egypt, and during the Passover, we all know the story about the Passover. Well, this was when the angel of the Lord was to come through and to smite all the Egyptians and everybody in Egypt. And this was the time for the Israelites was to start the evacuation. Now, during this time, they all had to kill a lamb without spot. Now, they had to kill the lamb and apply the blood on the doorposts and the lintels of their doors. So when the angel of death came through to smite all the Egyptians, they would pass over that house that had the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. They had to actually apply that blood to their doorposts to be saved from the angel of death coming through that night. And all those who did apply the blood on the doorposts and the lintels were spared their lives. They did not come into judgment of the Lord that night. They were spared. So just to give you a little analogy on the idea of applying it to your heart, think of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins through his blood. Now, you can't physically take his blood and apply it to your heart, but by faith, you take that blood and make it personal, apply it to your heart. Being saved, a relationship with Christ, is through faith. It's a relationship that happens within, not within like they did, like the evil thoughts. It's when all the evilness in the heart, it all changes now. New creature in Christ. You apply this to your heart. Now, with that being said, if there's any here that are unsaved, do not wait any longer to come to Christ. Right where you are, you come to Christ. Even if you're not really sure of your salvation, why don't you come to Christ and make sure? Just go make sure. Renew your vows, so to say. Renew your vows. Come to Christ right where you are. Come to Christ. Receive him as your Lord, which means submit. Are you willing to submit your life to Christ? Because he is the one that offers eternal life, because he paid it all, as we sing. Jesus paid it all on the cross. He took our punishment. He took our hell on the cross, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The tree representing the cross, which we understand the cross was made out of wood. It was the wooden cross that Christ died on for our sins. So I got to emphasize, if you're not saved, please, please accept Christ as your Lord today, your Savior, your Lord. Make it personal today. Repent from all those sins, whatever was keeping you away from God. Get rid of it and turn to Christ. Because this is the most important thing you will ever do, is secure your eternal destination. You need to come to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 will say, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Do not walk out of this building if you are not saved. If you are not sure of your salvation, do not walk out of this building until you have it established, till you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may have a hard time believing it. Just believe it because God said it and he's given us his word. And we all have it in front of us. If you do not have a Bible, there is one in the pew that I'm sure you can have, and we will replace it. Take God at his word. Receive the gift of salvation. Claim salvation by faith. Faith in Christ. It's complete trust in Christ. Complete trust in Christ alone, not Christ in anything else. So receive Christ, please. I say receive Christ today. You may not have another moment ever to do this again. This may be your last opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. So please receive Christ. Now I want to give a couple of invitations that God says in his word. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11, everybody, if we could. Matthew chapter 11. For those of you who know it, may it be a blessing to your heart just to read it one more time. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 28 through 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. showing the humbleness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is humbled. We need to humble ourselves and receive him, submit to him. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For another invitation, let's turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, as we're closing up here, John chapter 10. Some of these verses, I love these verses. When I was a lost sinner seeking Christ and I wanted the assurance, I came to these verses and I trusted Christ at his word. So I got to say to everybody, trust Christ on his word. Look what he says. John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Just showing the love of Christ. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall be means will be saved. Come to Christ. Now, let me backtrace. Since me and Michael here, we have the same favorite verse in John. Let's look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now Christ Jesus came to save sinners, and him that cometh to Christ shall not be cast out, which means you shall not be turned away. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, which means will be saved. There is no discrimination. There is no exceptions. Christ came to save sinners. And since we are all sinners, Christ came to save every single person in this world, today, in the past, and the future. He bore all our sins on the cross. Every sin that was ever been committed. It's horrible to even think that every sin that has ever been committed, every sin that has ever been committed, that's being committed now, and every sin in the future that will ever be committed, Christ paid it all on the cross. He took all of the sins in his own body on the tree. So I got to say one last time before we close here, if you are not saved, you need to come to Christ because you may not ever have another moment to do so. Do not put it off because today is the day of salvation. One more emphasis. Isaiah. We may look to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The day of grace is going to end. There may not be another time. Look at perhaps today, the Lord may come at any moment. And if you did not seek the Lord before he comes, you will be left behind. You will be left behind. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Even if you have gotten away from the Lord, or you're not right, you have been away from the Lord, come to the Lord, return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Come back to the Lord Jesus Christ if you are away. If you're not saved, come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. You may not have another moment to do so. You can do so right where you are, right there as we take a moment to think. We pray, you meditate. Just come to the Lord, accepting the fact, admitting the fact that you are a sinner to yourself and to God, and you are separated from God. And come to Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Right now, right where you are, you can just say that, right where you are. You don't got to pray out loud. It's a silent prayer. It all happens within the heart. We see the importance of the heart. It happens within the heart. So be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ today. So looks like I timed it out pretty good. Well, the Lord timed it out for me. I went over it a couple of times to get it timed out. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, our hearts continue to lift up to thee for this great salvation thy Son has provided for all of us. Thank you for saving us, Father. Father, if there is any here that are unsaved or away from the Lord, may you bring them close to thee now, Father. Save their souls. Father, speak to their hearts right now. Bring them back. Save their souls. Father, for all of us that are saved, we thank you for the great salvation we have in thy Son. Father, we thank you for the great gospel that is so freely preached now. We thank you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.